This is Out of Context with Caitlin Hartlin.
Yay, we're back. It's Out of Context with Caitlin Hartlin. I am your host, as previously named, and I missed you. We had a little brief hiatus while I got some of my equipment for my studio up and running, which unfortunately has proved somewhat fruitless today. Just had some technical glitches getting set up for the Zoom call today for this episode. But I would like to invite my wonderful guest to speak in a sec here. Her name is Katie Vaughn, and we met while working in radio. And she was one of the first friends I made in Northwestern Ontario because we were both queer radio hosts, which is not a super common thing in this part of the country. And so she lives in Kenora, and she also hosts a queer podcast of her own, Gaily Forward, with her co-host Mitchell. And we're going to chat a little bit about that and about the commercialization of Pride, because Pride Month doth approach in June. So hi, Katie. How's it going?
I'm having a great day because I get to talk to your lovely face. How are you?
Aw, shucks. It's a shame the others can't see this lovely face. I actually showered today.
That's a win when it comes to, you know, living life in a pandemic, particularly because, like, it's a weekend and...
Right. I was going to say, during the pandemic, hygiene has not been top priority. I won't say it's, like, low. But I'm very aware that not many people will see me in the run of a day, and I can get away with a lot more than I used to.
That's right. If anybody listening to this has worked from home and has, you know, been on a Zoom call of their own, I'm sure they know what pandemic life is all about. You know, it's like, I'll dress up the top half of my body. But
I was going to say, it's pretty much pantsless pandemic at this point for me. I'm actually wearing pajama bottoms at the moment. I am wearing a t-shirt at least, but I've got my SpongeBob boxers on.
I put real pants on for you today, even though you can't see me at all.
The privilege. Wow. I feel... That's special treatment. Thank you.
That's how much I value our friendship. Oh,
so dear to my heart. I'm going to cry. I feel like that was going to happen in this episode at some point anyway, given the subject matter, but we'll see what happens.
It's bound to happen. Yeah.
I'm also just, it's not hard to make me cry anyway. Particularly so during the pandemic when emotions have been running high.
Like the last little while, one of my go-to things to do, particularly like when my roommate is not home, is to watch like the saddest dramatic TV shows I can and just weep.
Just fully like, wallow in it. Yeah. For the whole evening. If you're going to do it all the way. Full Bridget Jones.
What does that say about me? But anyway.
And I also mention every episode, I've yet to hear from Tetley directly, but... In their defense, they've probably never heard my podcast and I haven't reached out to them directly, but I am drinking Tetley tea as I always do. I've got my trusty orange Pico at my side.
Well, cheers, my friend. I've got a coffee on the go right now. So
I'm just praying, hope against hope, that my hiccups from earlier today don't return. We might have to take a little break while I hold my breath if that happens.
No worries. Also, when this episode goes live, I'm tweeting the link and tagging Tetley in it. You're welcome.
Thanks in advance for the promotion. Lord knows I am terrible at doing that for myself. So we're just going to give a little background on, I already touched on it briefly at the start there, about how we met and how our friendship came to flourish. And then we're going to talk about your podcast and a little bit about Pride and how it's been pinkwashed in recent years. And if you aren't familiar with that phrase, don't worry. We're going to tell you what it means.
Absolutely.
So let's chat about how we met. It would have been 2018, I think. Yeah.
That sounds right.
That's when I moved to Northwestern Ontario, to Fort Francis.
Right. And I think it was either just before you moved or like just after you moved to Fort Francis, I found out that there was going to be another queer person in Northwestern Ontario who also was working in radio. And I was like, heck yeah, I got to message this person like right now because I need to see if they're cool or not because I want to make a new queer friend.
Well, I hope I met your expectations. I actually Googled your station because I had been told there was another female announcer. And that's like in the year 2021, still a more of a rarity than I would like. But yeah, especially in the small markets, it's not so much a problem in the cities. But yeah, small market radio is still pretty dominated by white dudes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember looking up the website and I actually screenshotted your little biography and sent it to a few of my friends because I was like, oh my God, there's another me.
I know, like right down to the haircut.
Glasses. Yeah. The only difference is the color of our hair, really. And I guess maybe
Yeah.
our eye color. I don't know. What color are your eyes? I should know that.
Oh my God. I'm so offended that you have not stared deeply into my eyes long enough
Yeah, it
to.
looks
No,
bad
I'm
for
just kidding.
me.
No, I have hazel eyes. I don't know what color your eyes are either. Is that a common thing friends know about each other?
You are giving me shit and you don't know mine either. Mine are blue, for the record. They're like, I call them slate blue because they're kind of grayish. Yeah, and they do change color a little bit depending on my mood and the lighting.
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I once had them compared to an Alberta storm.
Wow.
Yeah, that was one of my exes.
So poetic.
Yeah, it was actually. We had a very artistic relationship in general.
No wonder it was
Anyway,
damaging.
moving on.
Yeah.
So that's how we met, was in radio. Katie is still holding it down in radio, and she actually just got a promotion. So congratulations. Yes, I'm going to mention it on the podcast.
Aw, thanks, pal.
Because I
Well,
know
I
you're
hope.
terrible about announcing those things for yourself. So.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I am excited about it actually. We definitely need more women in radio, specifically queer women, I think. So yeah, any
That
small little step I
representation is
can,
low right now.
right. Any small step I take forward is a victory, I think.
Damn Skippy, and I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
So let's chat a little bit about your podcast, Gaily Forward. You started it with Mitch up in Kenora. And I know probably similar to me, you've had a bit of an erratic release schedule for some of your episodes. So I wanted to, this was kind of my inspiration for this episode was feeling kind of stymied and feeling a bit of a block, mostly because of the frustration with all the equipment that I've ordered that hasn't worked out. And it
Yeah.
just created this mental block where I was like, I know there are so many things I want to talk about, but I can't settle my mind to what I want the topic for this episode to be. And then you and I were messaging, and I was just like, hang on. She also has a queer podcast, and I'm sure she's facing some of the same struggles. We should talk about it. So
Totally.
my
Yeah.
block became my inspiration. So,
That's amazing.
yeah.
Way to turn it around.
Thank you. It was the laziest thing I could have done.
Well, I'm
so,
happy to be here anyway.
thank you. And I appreciate you being here. It's always just nice to chat with you in any capacity, professional or no.
Yeah.
So, you and Mitchell got it started. Whose idea was it? Or was it just kind of like a mutual, hey, this is, we're missing this in this area. We need to make it.
This is such a fun story, actually, because it was very, as everything I think Mitchell and I do, it was very like impromptu and kind of like a last minute sort of decision. But he and I actually, before we started the podcast, had kind of vaguely known of each other being two queer people who were from Kenora, as happens very often in, rural small towns. And like he had moved away for a while and recently moved back. And so the way that we kind of met, even though we knew of each other before, was he actually was coming into the radio station to do an interview with me about an upcoming drag show that he was putting on and performing in.
I didn't know
Yeah.
that part.
Right. So he came in and we did an interview, and he kind of was right off the hop, sort of excited about doing the interview with me, he said, because I really wanted to delve into kind of the nitty-gritty surrounding what drag is and why it's important. And like it was Pride season, so talking about why Pride is still important and those kind of things, versus when he had done a promotional interview with the other station, they kind of just like hit the highlights. It's like, what's the show?
Yeah,
When's it
gloss it
happening?
over.
Blah, blah, blah. But being a queer person, like I understand why it's important to hit the details, to make sure that other people also understand why this is a huge and important thing for Kenora that we're having a drag show.
Yeah. Because
So
was that one of the first or the first?
that
Or do you
was,
know?
I think it was the first in
Wow.
Kenora. Yeah, if
Okay.
I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So he came in to do an interview to promote the show. And during that conversation, like I just pressed record and we were talking about it. And I ended up having like 25 minutes of audio to edit afterwards,
Which
which
for
like
commercial radio is, oh God, so long.
so like
Supposed to have max
way
5 minutes, and even that, like your program director will be looking down his nose at you, like,
exactly. They
shorten it
want more
up.
like 2 minutes is even like pushing it, right?
Yeah.
So Clearly, I had a lot of editing to do, which I did. But after we finished recording, he sat in the studio with me and we chatted a little bit longer. And he was like, you know, wow, that interview was so great. We just felt like there was something kind of magical about our dynamic together. You could really feel the chemistry there was palpable.
Well,
So,
having been in the presence of both of you, I can confirm that.
well, yeah, I mean,
I love
I
hanging
think
out with you too.
it's kind of I think it is kind of undeniable, you know, like Mitchell is probably one of, if not the most charismatic people I've ever met in my life. And
That's the exact
so,
word I was thinking as well. It just
yeah.
oozes out of him.
Oh, definitely. Comes to him so naturally. And yeah, I don't know, we just hit it off right away during that interview. And I think he was actually the one who kind of suggested it. I still don't know to this day if he was joking in the moment or not, but he
Yeah.
was like, that went so well. We clearly have such a good dynamic. We should do a podcast. And I was like, I have been wanting to do a podcast for, you know, a couple of years now, but never
Yeah.
really found like content or something that was passionate enough to explore or to like sit down in the studio and actually record bits about. So when he said that, I was like, yes, I'm on board immediately. And so we made plans to get together that following Saturday to record our first episode.
Oh, it
And
came together
that's what
that
happened.
quickly. Wow.
Came together that quickly. And keep in mind, I had known of him for like a period of time because I was friends with his sibling and stuff
Okay.
in elementary school, that kind of thing. But we had never spent any time together. We weren't friends before this. We literally just interviewing him for the drag show was the first time I had spent any extended period of time with him. So it really was that fast. We did that interview. He suggested we do a podcast. I said yes. And now the rest is history. It's 2 years later, and he's my best friend and
Wow.
roommate
You've lived
and
together.
my
Yeah. You've produced
podcast co-host.
Rocky Horror Show that was a horror of its own. Not
That
the
was
content was
actually.
bad. It was just so many things went wrong.
Oh my gosh, I know. What a
I'm
nightmare.
just envisioning that
I
like
would love to read.
hanging panel of wires in that back room that was meant to be our green room, and then the water that was falling from the ceiling.
Yeah. That was so
I
bad. I
remember I
would
had
love
gone
to
back there
get
to
a
like
chance.
practice, and then I was like, I feel like these wires shouldn't be sitting in this pool of water. I'm gonna pick this up. But there wasn't like an actual shelf. It was like this hanging piece of wood that was like haphazardly nailed into the wall. And so I like put it up there and I was like, that's not gonna stay. So then I think I put it on like a chair or like a little trolley that we had back there full of like costume stuff. And I was just like, yeah, I feel like we should let the building owners know about this. But they were just like, yeah, the water's not working. Because then the bathroom didn't work too, right? And then there was no mix for the drinks. And it was just,
There was
oh, it
no
was
mix for the
chaos.
drinks. The one bartender who wasn't wasted left. So there was just like one really drunk bartender, like, and every time you went to the bar to get a drink, it cost a different amount. I'm
Don't think I
surprised
drank
people
that night.
still stayed for that show.
That
My God.
audience were
Oh.
troopers, man. Like they were so
Yeah.
supportive when we actually finally got it going and ironed out all the technical details. Because we had issues with like the audio and stuff too, right? And the video. Because we were, I guess we should explain. We were doing
Yeah.
like a shadow cast of Rocky Horror Picture Show. So like acting it out in front of the screen
Yeah.
as the movie was playing. And yeah, it was just like that production felt cursed. Because we had people drop out right before too, and I hadn't been able to make it down for a rehearsal, so I was literally learning my song on the drive down with Mitch from Fort Francis.
Yeah, how many times did you listen to Damn It, Janet on that drive, you
I
think?
couldn't tell you. It's over 20 for sure, but possibly closer to 50 because it's a short song, so you can repeat it fairly quickly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because I played
Yep,
Brad,
that
and then you
show
played
was,
Brad the next night because I couldn't make it.
yeah, for like six people.
Oh, it wasn't as big a turnout as the first one, eh?
You know, more people wanted to see you in your underwear than me, clearly. So there you
I feel like it was
go.
more that the people who were at the first show were like, wow, that was a train wreck. Maybe we won't tell people to go to this.
And that's fair. Just like the guy who was running the venue was so awful. I don't think really any of it was like Mitchell was left to deal with some pretty unfortunate circumstances when it
I'll
came to that
say,
show. So
yeah, there was
poor guy.
a lack of any sort of management of the venue. I feel like the guy basically turned the lights on and that was it. The rest was up to us.
Yeah, totally.
And awful. Not even like, I can't even count myself among that, because I don't know that I put out that many fires. You were kind of running around like a chicken with your head cut off that night, though.
I did my best. Well, that was the thing. Like, leading up to that show, I was like, I want to be in charge of doing the audio, so that way I know how everything goes together and yeah. I can make sure that it works. And that didn't happen because the venue owner insisted that he was going to take care of it, and that all we would have to do is like plug the laptop in so the movie would play, like plug it into the projector. And then it didn't. And I was like, see, this is fucking why I said, oh, can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, it's fine. Totally fine.
Oh, okay. Sorry, mom.
Goodness knows I have.
Anyway, yeah, that was a time. It was a time for sure.
But like, I still felt really proud at the end of it, though, because we still managed to pull it off and the audience actually enjoyed it and they got super into it, and like it was like just a big love fest at the end.
Totally. Well, the show itself was like very good. Like the cast that we had that we managed to throw together at the last minute was full of like really talented and amazing fun people, so mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that show wouldn't have been anything without those people. So that was a pretty phenomenal time.
Well, I remember Mitchell kind of repeating throughout all of the chaos that was happening. It was just like, you know, if we didn't have, like, I have so much faith in queer people because we can do this sort of stuff with the least amount of resources and still manage to pull off a good show.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's a testament to our resilience as a community.
Absolutely, especially in rural communities. I think, you know, there's so much camaraderie, and like, for better or for worse, I think often queer people in rural communities sort of band together and have each other's backs no matter what, because, you know, it's such a small community, there's such a small group of those mm-hmm. people in each individual community. And then oftentimes, you know, you see different queer groups from different communities even having their own little social network or band interaction, because there are just so few queer events and queer people to spend your time with. And as a queer person, you crave that,
gravitate
so
towards it. Yeah. And a lot of it is still very grassroots, because we don't have the same supports that like bigger city prides and that kind of stuff. Like, we just don't have the resources. So we have to get creative and band together and use every resource that we have available.
Exactly.
I'm always impressed by the things that we're able to pull off. Like the Emo Ambush last year is a fine example. Just that many people getting mobilized that quickly. Yeah. And just the sheer turnout was amazing. Excuse me. Sorry. I should also mention, if I sound a little rough in this episode, I got my second jab of the Moderna vaccine last week. And the day after, it was like I was hit by a bus. Like, I had been warned that the second dose would hit me a lot harder than the first one did, because the first one I was tired and my arm was really sore for a few days. But that was pretty much the worst of it. But this time, overnight, yeah, it was like, basically kind of felt like the onset of cold and flu. Like, I woke up and I was nauseous, and I had a pounding headache, and I just body aches all over, and this overwhelming fatigue, like dragging my ass to the bathroom was an event. I stayed Moderna's in bed most like of the
Miley,
day.
Moderna's like Miley Cyrusing its way through your bloodstream. I came in like a wrecking
ball. Honestly, that's what it felt like. Cause I was okay, like, the day of the stabbing, if you will. And but yeah, like the next morning, it was just like a truck hit me and I just felt awful all day. Like, I couldn't even eat because of the nausea. So I managed like a dry bowl of Special K in the morning, had some watermelon at lunchtime. And then it wasn't until supper time that I had an actual proper meal, and I like fried a couple of eggs. But yeah, it was bad. But yeah, once I went really to rough. Bed after work was done, because I still like I was working from home, thankfully. So it wasn't a big deal that I had to rest so much, thankfully. And a lot of my coworkers were similarly afflicted. So it was sort of a write off day for all of us. But yeah, once I woke up from my nap at like 11 p.m., I was like, oh, I feel way better. And then waking up the next morning, it was like it hadn't happened. I was totally fine. But yeah, yesterday I woke up and I had kind of a dry throat, and I was like, that's weird, because I haven't had a cold in like over a year now with wearing masks and social distancing and hand sanitizing and all of that, the whole nine yards of pandemic normal, I guess, now.
Yeah. Well, I found too, because where we live, we've had a couple of days where it was like really cold.
Yeah.
And we had to turn our heat back on. And so because we had turned our heat off and then turned it back on, it was like 10,000 times worse waking up in the morning. I don't know. I've had the dry throat thing too, although maybe not to the extent that you have if it's because of your shot, but that could play a factor as well if your heat has kind of been on and off and on and off.
Well, and I also thought it was allergies because that has been affecting me lately. It's not something I ever dealt with before moving to Northwestern Ontario. I'm not sure what it is I'm allergic to, but one of the plants, some of the pollen, it seems, because I get the watery eyes and the runny nose and all that. So I thought it was just that. And so I just kind of wrote it off in the morning. I was like, whatever, I'll take a Reactan, I'll be fine. And I had like a morning meeting and I got through that. But by the mid-afternoon, I just like the fatigue set in. Mm-hmm. And then I had a small bout of hot flashes and chills going back and forth between those. Thankfully, those passed fairly quickly. Same as when I had the side effects the first time. And then, yeah, I just felt like garbage the rest of the day. I was just really tired. And then I woke up this morning, dry throat again and feeling kind of sinusy. And I was like, damn it. I thought this would be gone by now. But I'm powering through, and I took actually another shout out to Tetley. They have an immune tea that has like zinc and vitamin C and I forget what else in it, but it's what I take now as like a preemptive attack against a cold when I feel it coming on, and it actually does help.
How do you not have a sponsorship from Tetley? Seriously.
And I come by it honestly, like it was a Tetley household that I grew up in. My mom only ever bought Tetley. Red Rose was like a sin in our house.
Yeah, because it tastes like trash.
And it makes me sad because it's Canadian and it's garbage.
It's the only thing I've ever had to drink where my mouth feels more dry after I drink it than before.
It's just not a good taste. Like, it doesn't matter how long you steep it. It's just, it's not good. I don't know what
I would argue the picking. Longer you steep it, the worse it tastes.
I will say, though, for alternatives to Tetley, King Cole has been okay when I've tried it in the past. Is that available in Ontario? That might be an East Coast thing.
I have no idea. I've never heard of that before, so possibly not.
Whoops, my Maritimer's showing. Anyway, back to the podcast, gaily forward. You guys... Yeah. You've done like a combination of video and audio format, right? Because I know you did some Facebook Lives in the beginning, like that was kind of your start, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, at first, when we first started doing the podcast, we didn't have a lot of access to equipment.
It was I feel that.
Pretty touch and go and rough at that point. But people, after we put out the first like two episodes, you know, mostly people that we knew, but people were messaging us and being like, we love this, like,
aww.
it's so great, you guys are so insightful, we love hearing, you know, your thoughts about the different topics that you chose to talk about, because we want to talk about things that affect our lives and offer, you know, some commentary about like what our experiences were and what our insights into the individual things were. And it turned out that people like that really resonated with people in a big way. And so, yeah, they were, when we were between being able to record episodes, people were like, we want to hear from you. Like we're missing the podcast. We want more. And so we were like, well, let's just start a Facebook page then and do some live streams. That way we can like really interact with the people who want to hear from us. And so, yeah, we've done a few of those and those are always very fun.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not surprised that it had such a good response because you guys are very accessible queers, I guess is how I should put it. Because like you guys naturally are nice and kind people and that radiates from you and you kind of have this inviting aura about you. So of course, if you're talking to each other, that's going to be magnified. And then if you're talking about queer stuff that in this region, a lot of people aren't talking about, sadly, it's going to be interesting because it's stuff people haven't heard before and it's your perspective. And I feel like you guys don't dilute it at all. Like there's no pretension whatsoever with you guys. Like the thought is in your brain, it comes out your mouth.
Yeah, like today when you were like, oh, an outline, I was like, an outline? Girl, you're professional. An outline? We just turn the mics on and like end up recording for like 3 hours and then I have to go back through and edit that shit. And an outline? outline is the way to go, let me say. But we
that's don't... why I keep my recordings to about an hour, because I just purely do not have the time or energy to edit anything longer than that. And even that is a struggle sometimes, because I mean, I have a full-time job and I have other stuff that I do with my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gets tiring editing, because like for me, I have back issues, so I can't sit for long periods. So I have to take breaks. Totally. So it takes longer than it might if I didn't have that issue. But yeah. So have you also found it kind of difficult to keep it going, especially during the pandemic when so many other things are going on and your attention is being pulled in different directions? Plus, you're also navigating a new position at work and a lot of changes that have happened at your station in the last year. So how's it been for you guys to produce content during this time?
It has come with quite a few challenges. I won't lie about that. Particularly, it's so strange because Mitchell and I lived together and then we didn't for a while. And obviously, like when we lived together before, it was easy to kind of get content out because we were together all the time.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic hit, we weren't living together at first. So that made things nearly impossible because of course we were a different household. So we were doing what we were supposed to do and following the rules and not
good on you, by the way,
other in person. Thank you. I appreciate that. So like, it was really rough because it's like, how are we going to record if we are not in the same room? And where I lived and where he lived, neither of us had room to set up equipment so that we could even record virtually like you and I are doing now. So it was like really tough. And then when we moved in together, we did do like a little bit of a series where we invited some trans and non-binary folks to come on the
podcast. I wanted to talk to you about that.
to share their experiences. Yeah. And we can talk about that more in a sec if you have questions about it. But
for sure,
we did do a little bit of that. But Mitchell and I have both been finding that with the pandemic and the amount of isolation that people have been in, for us specifically, it was an opportunity to do some really, really hard and detailed self-reflection. And for a lot of the things that came up with that and issues that we kind of identified within ourselves and in our own lives, a lot of it was, I think it went a lot deeper than either of us were expecting. So that definitely caused some struggles with mental health for both of us at varying times, or sometimes at the same time, which made it impossible for us to be in a headspace to produce content.
Of course, yeah.
And so, yeah, there's been a lot of soul searching and a lot of changes that we've each made in our lives as individuals, and a lot of personal growth. But along with that came kind of us retreating a little bit from putting out content in a public way, because we just needed that downtime for ourselves, I think.
Yeah. And that's important too, because you also don't want to half-ass it, because I know how passionate you are about this podcast and the things that you guys talk about. So I don't think it would sit right with either of you to be producing content when you're only giving it half your all. So I think you made the right choice with that. And that I've had to do the same thing a couple of times. Like when I was moving last year and leaving an industry that I thought I was going to be in for at least a few more years, that was a really big change. And I don't think I gave myself enough credit at the time for how big a change it was. And I
agree. You don't pay
the price down the road.
Oh. Just saying.
Well, thank you. That is a frequent criticism I receive, and I promise I'm working on it. but yeah, no, like that, those are all, life is hard anyway, regardless of going through big changes. So yeah, it's a wonder anyone puts out content sometimes. Like, yeah, just honestly, alive is real hard.
Well, especially in a, with the content of the podcast that we do, like with Gaily Forward and with Out of Context, it's such, a lot of it is so personal, like you said before when we were talking in this conversation. It's so personal, and a lot of it is our opinions and stuff. And I found it to be really difficult to like really share my thoughts about different things that were happening in the world when, A, 90% of my thinking capacity in a general day is spent doing just thinking about myself and my own life and connecting different traumas that I've had and figuring out how that shaped my adult life, and then trying to deal with the repercussions of that. So thinking about something outside of that is difficult. But then it also, I think, going through that reflection process changes you as a person.
Oh, 100%. So, yeah.
you know, along with that, it changes your perspective on things that are happening in the world around you too. So it's just, I don't know, it's all of those things kind of combined into one that just makes thinking about and producing content outside of what's affecting you right now just such a struggle. And
yeah, because it's secondary at that point. And so it would be hard to focus because you need to have your focus elsewhere for your own well-being.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, you nailed it.
Thank you. I often do. I'm basically a human hammer. So since you mentioned the series that you and Mitch did on Gaily Forward, exploring the lives and experiences within the transgender and non-binary community, I forget how many episodes you did in that series. I think it was at least two or three, right?
Yeah, we had a few more than that lined up, but we had technical difficulties and stuff that kind of threw a wrench into that because our setup is still not very like super professional. It's kind of like haphazardly duct taped together.
I mean, I've got bubble wrap around my mic right now, so I feel you.
Totally. But we did I think end up putting out three episodes in that.
Okay. Scene. So what kind of inspired wanting to focus on that particular part of the queer community? Was there someone in your life that sort of brought this idea forward, or is it you guys?
No, we definitely came up with that idea on our own for a variety of different reasons. I think I won't speak on Mitchell's experience, but we each kind of had our own reasons for why. One thing that we definitely did agree on, though, was that, I mean, if you look at the state of the world as it stands right now, you know, particularly like in the United States coming out of a Trump presidency with all the legislation that was passed, and now all the legislation that's being tabled to try and take the rights away and the safety away and the protection away from trans people, it was startling to us because just like that, like people always say, oh, you know, why you guys need pride and like, can't you just stop complaining already as like people who belong to the LGBTQ2S+ family, like, you know, equality has been achieved and you need to stop bitching. And like, this is clearly an example that that's not true.
No,
because all of these people's experiences and lives are being invalidated and they're like living in danger of facing not only violence from their communities, but also like, you know, their government's not standing up to protect
them. And even
them
within the queer community, there are straight up queer people who will invalidate the existence of a trans or non-binary person. And it's infuriating because it's just like, do you not understand the irony of what you're doing?
Right. I'm going to use this opportunity to say fuck TERFs. And if you are one, don't listen to my podcast.
JK Rowling. yeah. But she's listening to Out of Context.
Clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. That. So. Yeah. No, I think those are great reasons. And I feel like the trans and non-binary community portion of the queer community they've only really been in the spotlight in recent years because of, you know, people like Laverne Cox and others that are celebrities who have shone a light on the issues. But it's not as though trans people are new. Like,
exactly.
There's centuries of evidence that this has always been just like the rest of the queer community. It's just with them moving into that spotlight, that also invites a lot of targeted discrimination and people being aware of their existence and wanting to quash it because they don't understand it. And it's infuriating because it seems like we're just never going to have full equality because there continue to be generations of people who are producing more people who think like them. And it's hard. It's really hard. I've had to really, really try hard to avoid comment sections over the past few months because it's, well, first of all, it's bad for my mental health because I see the state of where opinions are at on various queer issues. And I'm just like, ugh. Like, it's disheartening because you think we've come so far and then you see that people still think like this and it's discouraging. But
yeah,
it also equally gives me the fire to keep doing things like my podcast because I'm like, people need to learn and they need to understand that we aren't all that different and that acceptance is not a difficult concept.
That's right.
You have to remove your biases and think about things in a different way than what you've been taught. And well, that's really hard for some people. And they just don't want to do it.
Because the reality of the situation is the way I exist in the world literally has almost no effect on the way you exist in the world.
Exactly.
So who gives you the right to comment about the way I exist and how I present myself and, you know, the way I identify and just who I am as a person? It's not for anybody else to decide but me. And I think you hit the nail on the head, too, when you were talking about the ignorance of it all and people not understanding. And that was part of the reason, too, that we wanted to do it. Well, I mean, I have people in my life who I love and care about who are trans or who are exploring their gender identity.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that I was coming into those situations from a supportive place. But even outside of that, being a queer podcast like Gaily Forward is, we thought it was important to highlight the experiences that people within the community that we're having, but that maybe we haven't had ourselves.
Right.
So that was the whole reason why we wanted to invite guests to come on, because of course I'm not trans and right. I am, you know, I haven't lived like the non-binary experience. So I can't speak on that from a personal perspective.
Yeah.
So we wanted people to come on to share their stories with us who felt comfortable to do that, so that A, we could offer an opportunity for maybe parents who have queer children or who have trans children or children that want to explore their gender identity, to have like a touch zone so they could understand what that experience is like. And B, so that these people could share their stories and we could offer a platform that people could go to where they could listen to that and see, like, or hear that these are they're people and they have human experiences and they have feelings and they have thoughts and they have, you know, to try and eliminate some of that ignorance. Because when you can humanize a story and find a piece of something you can connect with in another human, it makes you that much more able to be sympathetic or empathetic to their situation.
Yeah, so absolutely. Lived experience is probably one of the best teachers, I think. I've been kind of ruminating on that because of all of the various webinars and like panel discussions that I've attended over the past year because of COVID and, you know, not being able to meet in person. And it's been really interesting to hear in many of these, it's actually the people who have lived it who are talking about their experience. And that is, to me, in many ways more valuable than reading about, you know, the history of a group of people. Like if you hear it directly from them, it's that much more powerful because you can see the impact that it's had on them. Like many times people will get upset when they're talking about the things that they've gone through. Or by contrast, they don't get upset and it shows how much they've had to face and how resilient that's forced them to be. And right. I find it very interesting. Like I feel like I'm a student of life at this point. Like I want to learn everything about everything, but learning directly from people is one of my favorite things. Cause I'm also just, I love conversation, right? Like that's half the reason I started this podcast was so I could talk to interesting people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a person in my life who's very dear to me right now who always talks about like the power of stories. And I think that that's so profound and so true, you know, that stories allow us that opportunity to connect with each other and to other people in the world and to learn lessons and share experiences and feel things that maybe we normally wouldn't be exposed to in our regular lives. And so,
yeah,
you know, that's why I think things like attending panels like you were talking about and podcasts like this one are so important, because it gives people the opportunity to do that, to share stories. And
yeah, and you get to be kind of a fly on the wall in someone's life.
Right. And hopefully, you know, like I said, connect with that in your own way and take something away from that.
Yeah. And I actually had a memory come up on Facebook recently. This is the same kind of thing I tried to do on my morning show on the radio. And much to the chagrin of the higher ups, I would get into the uncomfortable topics and I would talk about the stuff that most, I feel, commercial radio hosts were not talking about, because it was important to me. And I felt like there are enough people in the community who are living these experiences that will want to feel like they're being heard. And I kind of was just like, screw it to all the naysayers. I'm going to talk about this. But I had this memory come up on Facebook of a blog post that I had done as part of a series that I was kind of doing leading up to Pride. I think it was either last year or the year before. I think it was last year. I had made a post previously about why Pride is important and gave some of the history about Stonewall and some of the various events that have happened in Canada since before I was born, and just kind of illustrating, like, you know, yes, we have come a long way, but there is still much further to go. And so this listener wrote into me, and they asked to remain anonymous, but they wanted to share their story. And they said that they had come out as bisexual like 8 years ago, but no one took it seriously. So then they didn't take it seriously and kind of had like a little bit of self-doubt about it, because there wasn't the support in the community. And so they were like, it's been such a breath of fresh air to listen to your show and like hear you talk about these things. And it's made me feel more valid in my identity and feel like I can talk about it again and actually explore it now. And yeah, that person has since gone on to be a friend of mine and has come out to their family and all that kind of stuff. But like,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so I kind of wanted the podcast to be an extension of that kind of work that I started in commercial radio, because I felt that was when I was doing my most important work. Like, I didn't give a shit about fishing tournaments or selling clothes at the latest like 60% off sale. Like, that stuff just didn't matter to me. But when I got to talk about people and their stories, like, that was my jam.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and you excel at it too, I would say.
Thank you.
I know at the time when you were still working in radio, you know, I was like, I think like one of your biggest cheerleaders in the moment, where I was just like, dude, thank you for doing what you do, because in my own experience, I got into radio for kind of a similar reason, because I wanted to, you know, to help people share their stories.
Yeah.
And then I think there's a moment when you work in commercial radio, if you had gone in with noble intentions like that, where you realize that's not what this is.
This is not the platform for me.
Commercial radio is I mean, it's good for what it is in and of itself, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's about entertaining the people in your community. It's not about, you know,
enlightening them
or like uplifting voices of marginalized people and utilizing your platform for good. Nah, man, you're part of the media machine and you have to make sure that your show content factors into that. And a lot of people, particularly within the industry, don't feel like human stories like the ones that we are talking about are entertaining enough.
Yeah, they don't see the value.
It's too controversial, or it's too emotional, or it's too whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, and I'm just like, if you weren't trying to quash these very stories, they wouldn't be controversial. But because you are holding them down, you are enforcing that boundary and that barrier for people. And that was something that I tried to communicate to my manager so many times, and he just didn't get it. Like, on the surface, he said he understood, but I was like, if you really did, your actions would be echoing it, and they're not. So
that's right. Well,
that's ultimately why I left. You can check that out in episode 5.
You have to factor in too, right? Like, being in commercial radio in a rural community, because there is a chance that, you know, some of your listening audience is not going to agree with you, but they also are not going to be silent about it. And the thing is that, like, I feel like bigoted people like that feel so much more empowered in a small community, because marginalized demographics are so much smaller in rural communities.
And they're rarely challenged on those opinions, right? Because so many other people share them.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, I think, speaks all the more about your character as a person, because you were just like, fuck that and fuck you guys. I'm going to just say what's right and what's true anyway. And if you don't like it, then
let the chips fall where they may. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, your ignorance is showing, but I don't really care, because you're an asshole and I don't care what you think.
Oh, I love you. Yeah. And you and I had many conversations before I actually made the decision to quit. And you were very supportive, kind of, but you were of two minds about it, because you were like, I support you making this decision for your mental health, but also I will miss having an ally in this field.
Definitely. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, there are so few women in radio, particularly in rural communities, and there are so few queer people in radio, particularly in rural communities. Then you find the intersection between those two things, and that makes the pool even smaller. And you were like one of the only people who belonged to like both those groups who also was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna just like tell it like it is and speak the truth and like fuck all the ignorant people. So you had, you actually had the courage to stand up and do that, which makes you like part of an even smaller group of people. So yeah, do I think it was detrimental for the industry to lose you? Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But I do think that having the opportunity to continue to tell those stories in a way that allows you to kind of like take that muzzle off that you had on before that was forced upon you,
ooh, yeah,
is so much more powerful in the long run. So
that's a good visualization, because that is how it felt sometimes. It was just like, yeah, you can talk, but only this much and only about this. And it's just like, like, don't get me wrong, I like having structure with anything I'm doing. Like if you give me no boundaries, then I get overwhelmed and I'm like, oh God, there's too much choice. But also similarly, I don't like being caged in. I like a kind of a happy medium where I know what my limits are and I can push against them sometimes. But in radio, it did feel very closed in, like a very small box. And yeah, like a figurative muzzle over my mouth for a lot of what I wanted to talk about. Like the time I talked about Trump and his trans ban in the military, that got a lot of flack when I posted about it, because I made a blog post and then I shared it to our Facebook page. And there's this one woman from the States who just went off in the comments. Like she was so horrible. Like the stuff she said, I don't even want to repeat it because it was awful. But my manager was just like, so I support that you are taking the risk to talk about these controversial topics, but you have to keep in mind that when it is a controversial topic, you have to display both sides. And I was just like, do we though, or can we just block the asshole ignorant people?
Well, that's the thing.
I was more
right?
concerned about that than about, you know, the message actually getting out there. And I was just like, eh. And I fought against that so many times.
Because if you explore both sides of issues like that, you're lending credibility to the ignorant side.
Exactly.
That's bullshit. Sorry. But if you're homophobic or transphobic or racist or misogynist, your opinion is no longer valid on this issue. And you need to go get your mind right before we continue this conversation.
And a platform is a privilege, not a right.
That's right. I'm not giving you my platform to spew your hatred.
Exactly.
Fuck that.
I think she did eventually get banned because she said something so awful that even our manager couldn't overlook it. But it was about something else.
Yeah.
Anyway, if she's listening, go away.
You said that much more nicely than I would have.
I really struggle at being mean. It's hard. Which is not to say I don't think things and hope things will befall evil people, but I really struggle to articulate it in any way other than I'm mad and I don't like you.
Oh man, I don't know. If sometimes it just feels so good and there's so much power in just telling someone to fuck off. It's a good
Don't get me wrong. It's not that I've never done that, but the person has been very deserving and it will have been like me pushed to the end of my rope before that happens. Mm-hmm. I do try to maintain respectful dialogue in all areas of my life. It just doesn't always work out the way I want it to.
Yeah.
We'll say one more thing about Gaily Forward and then move on to talking about Pride. And I think this will be in line with a lot of the other stuff we've talked about already with the commercialization of Pride. But I'm just curious where you want Gaily Forward to go. Are you going to keep it going as an audio only thing? Would you like to expand into video? Do you have any topics that you feel particularly passionate about that you want to cover in the coming months and years?
Yeah, I think... Well, I don't really, it's hard. It's hard to say, honestly, because...
Sorry to put you on the spot also.
No, that's okay. Mitchell and I have talked about this a lot and we kind of both go back and forth on it because Gaily Forward is kind of a labor of love. Like it's a project that we do because we're passionate about it and we want to offer our insight into like different topics and share our thoughts with people so that maybe we can like help educate or change people's minds or tug on their heartstrings enough that they suddenly maybe open their heart to accepting something they didn't before.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it could be so many things, you know, like if we have the opportunity going forward to expand into doing maybe Gailey Ford as like a YouTube channel / podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
And releasing content on video. We have talked about the idea of exploring that, you know, or even like, this is maybe best case scenario and I'm dreaming, but if we could do it as, if we got picked up by like a major media corporation or something, or like a queer media corporation.
Okay.
And they wanted us to like do a show and we could actually do the podcast as a living, or God forbid if we got enough sponsors or something, I would totally consider doing it, because then we have the opportunity to explore those stories full time. And that's something I love to do. I love to connect with people. I love to hear their stories. I love to share my experiences with them and like build that community. So yeah, I think that what Gailey Forward could be is kind of like, there are no limits at this point. That being said, you know, the reality of the situation right now is that we are living in a pandemic, and Mitchell and I both have full-time jobs that we love and are dedicated to. So that does not leave us as much room possibly as we would like to explore doing the podcast,
right,
potentially as something that we would do as a living. So I'm not entirely sure, but given the right opportunities, I think that it could expand beyond what it is now.
I was just going to say, it's interesting that you bring up the monetization of podcasts, because that's something I've kind of batted around myself for Out of Context. Because when I started this thing, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to make any money off this. This is just a way for me to explore the things that I want to talk about and learn about with people whose stories might not otherwise be heard. And I want to give them a platform. Whether that makes me any money, I don't really care. But of course, having actually started it and getting into things, I realized, oh, it would be handy to have some money coming in to do things like upgrading the equipment and right. to be able to afford to promote it, because you have to buy advertising, unfortunately, in our current capitalist society. Mm-hmm. But I've also felt like really kind of icky about it. And that's why I haven't yet, because that was part of the reason I left commercial radio, was because I didn't want to be selling a product. I wanted to be telling stories.
Agreed.
So but it's kind of heartening though, to hear right? you say like, it's not the worst thing to monetize it, because I've been like, I don't know, giving myself a moral slap on the hand whenever I think about it.
No, like the difference though is that like between commercial radio and doing your own podcast that you are in control of and producing and editing yourself and doing all of that, is that you say,
I choose the sponsor. Yeah.
Which products or organizations you want to be affiliated with. And if you don't believe in it, you have the ability to be like, nope, nope, sorry.
Sever those ties. Yeah. And I don't have a manager to answer to who's going to say, no, we'll actually keep him on the show and not tell you about it until it's airtime.
Boy, that I can't imagine that would actually ever happen.
That never happened. No, it's not from personal experience at all.
But the other thing too, that the way I look at monetization is that it gives us the ability to then reach not only a wider audience, because like you said, you have to pay for advertising and promotion, but it also gives us access, I think, to a lot more stories, because then like something I would love to do is travel through Canada or even North America.
Yes.
And go to different rural communities and get people from rural queer spaces, give them the opportunity to be able to share their stories, because so much of the queer experience right now, particularly like as it's portrayed in the media, is based around like big city queer living.
Yeah.
And the reality of the situation is being a queer person who lives in Kenora, Ontario, or in Dryden, Ontario, or in fucking Steinbach, Manitoba, or like somewhere in the Northwest Territories or something. You know, or in an Indigenous community, perhaps it's a lot different than living in downtown Toronto or Vancouver and living a queer life there.
Absolutely.
And those stories are so often overlooked. So I would love to be able to share more of those stories and experiences. But in order to do that, you have to travel to find those people sometimes to make those connections, build those connections. And it's just something that we don't have the ability to really do.
Is this the beginning of us merging, and we're going to start a company that will fund all of these things that we want to do?
Oh my God, are you serious? That would be so awesome.
I'm not serious. Like, I've definitely thought about it because, like, we've talked for probably a year now about having a crossover episode, which I guess we're kind of doing now to a
Yeah.
degree. I mean, Mitch isn't here, but yeah, I feel like the queers are always mightier when they're together.
That's a good point. Honestly, though, I think this is so interesting. Okay. The reality of the situation, I think, could be that, I mean, we'll have to talk more about this
Oh, yeah, for
when we're not
sure.
recording, but if we put together some sort of like a business plan or proposal and went to a bank and got a loan so we could actually build a legit
Have a dedicated
order,
space. Yeah.
right, studio with like actual equipment that works properly when it's connected together and stuff. That's not a shot at you. That's more a shot at my own setup, which is 10,000 times worse than yours. But if we have the ability to do all of that and the ability to travel and connect with other people across Canada and share their stories, that could be so powerful.
I'd be into that. And I feel like there are so many grants and things for various arts. What's the word I'm trying to say? There are grants for things in the realm of arts, I guess, that could be used for that exactly that kind of thing, or even as like startup money to have all of the costs paid for a startup business. Because I don't know the first thing about a lot of that, I will be fully honest.
Well, neither do I. I don't know
But I have
anything
enough
about
friends who do
grants.
that I feel like I could figure it out. And also Google is a great resource. but yeah, it's I'm not envisioning this being like a within the next year thing. Like, this is going to be a slow process because we do unfortunately still have to work our full-time jobs until this can become a reality. And that means our time will be limited to work on it. But I feel like if we were actually both serious about it, we could figure out a way forward and do a lot of those things, like traveling and like having a podcast tour of sorts. I think that'd be really
Right.
fun.
If you're listening right now and you think that we should go ahead and pursue this endeavor,
Please
leave
donate to us directly.
it. Yeah. Visit our GoFundMe. No, but I imagine we're going to have a
GoFundMe
link
takes a
here. So,
cut, so I would prefer e-transfer. So.
okay, there you go. E-transfer works for me too, honestly.
And I have auto
But
deposits, so don't even worry about the security question.
yeah.
My email
Perfect.
is.
Oh man. But yeah, like for real though, if you know, if listeners would be excited about that, I'd be curious to hear feedback from them. So
Me too.
comment on your
All two of
socials wherever
them.
you found the link. You have more than two listeners. That's ridiculous. How many people do you have?
I just don't know how consistent my listenership is. And like, that's partly on me because my releases have been somewhat erratic since the inception of it, when I was supposed to be doing it every month, but then I had to take a 2 month break when I was moving, and then
Yeah.
another month break when I was getting equipment set up for the podcast. But yeah.
Random technical question. Do you
Sure.
have what platform do you use to like publish your podcast? 'Cause like when
Oh.
we Mitchell and I first started, we knew nothing about podcasting.
No, same.
For a subscription for an RSS feed, and that's what pushes it out to the different platforms, but we get no listening statistics whatsoever.
Oh, that's annoying. I really like the one I've
Yes.
used. Like, I can't say enough good things about it. It's called Buzzsprout, and it's all one word. And I can't remember how I came about it, like deciding on that one precisely, because I did, there was so much research that went into every piece of this before I actually launched the first episode. That was when I first realized how much work podcasting actually is, because it's not just, you know, well, I mean, if you want to have a good product, I guess, is also the important part, because anyone can just plug a microphone into a laptop and talk into it, then sure. But if you actually want to produce good content, you have to be mindful of a lot of the back end of stuff, like registering for a site that will host your podcast and then figuring out how to submit to directories from that host and just setting up all of the social media, figuring out a lot of the graphics. Cause like, I don't know about you, but I'm not a graphic designer. And I actually had a friend of mine who also hosts a podcast. It's called Intoxicated Podcast in Halifax. That's intox, like talking. She did the
That's cute.
logos for me. She came up with them. Like, I just gave her a basic idea of what I wanted and like an idea of the style of font and like the colors, and then just let her run away with it. And she did a great job. And yeah, but that's been the only time that I've really like shipped out any of the work for this podcast, was just with the coming up the logo. Everything else I've done myself. I designed the artwork for each episode when I posted on social media. I came up with the intro. Like, that's actually me playing guitar in the intro. And then a friend amazing. Of mine that I know from home in Nova Scotia, who now lives in Calgary, she did the intro voiceover for Out of Context for the little intro and outro. Her name is Liz, and she's a wonderful person. You can check her out. I think it's M12 Fitness on Instagram, because she's also a personal trainer. A little plug for Liz, if she ever listens to this. But yeah, so it was figuring out all of that on my own, and a lot of trial and error in many cases. But now that I have it down, yeah. I have kind of a formula of how I produce and release each episode, and it's gotten easier and easier with each one. And even more easy now that I have an actual desk and a chair, and I'm not sitting in a patio chair next to the end table, like balancing my laptop on my knees.
This is such a good example, I think, of why a merger would be so great, is because
our combined Mitchell, skills.
Well, yeah. And Mitchell is like the artistic vision for sure behind Gailey Ford. Like, he does all the social media. He does all of the logos, designing them and creating them and all of that. And like all the social media posts, like all the design work behind that. That's all him.
Okay. Plus, like, I was wondering who did that or if it was shared.
She looks good in drag too. And like, Missy always comes through with a look, especially when we're doing like something on video, right?
Yeah.
And then I do more of the tech side of things, where I'm like the one obviously who's like
editing,
putting the equipment together and doing the editing. Though Mitchell is actually very good at editing as well, and like putting together the audio for the intros and blah 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 blah. And you clearly would be a really great producer, because like, again, going back to something we talked about at the beginning of this episode, I was like, what is an outline? I don't know. We never do that. So having somebody to like keep us on track and like figure out a production schedule kind of like that, and also have an input into the content and all of that, the three of us would be such a powerhouse working together, I think.
I agree.
We each bring our own certain set of skills that would just make everything be very successful. In fact, even if we don't merge, we might hire you as a consultant, because I would like to have statistics on how many people are listening to which episode.
Well, and I think probably the hardest part of a merger with the three of us would just be coming up with a name. I feel like the rest of it would come pretty easily, and we would figure it out. But yeah, a name would be difficult.
Gailey Context. No, no, no. It's a work in progress.
Out of Forward. Yeah, we're still going to workshop that name a bit.
Yeah.
Out of Context with Caitlin Hartland.